have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Ann Northrup. And in tribute to Sean Dunn, the great rebellion resistance fighter who threw the Subway sandwich at the ICE officer, I am wearing the T-shirt that honors him with a sort of Banksy image, but throwing the sandwich.
He's on trial this week.
Right. And Jeanine Pirro is trying to send him to jail for 6 months. She wanted to do more, but they talked her down to six
She's
months.
She's the prosecutor down
oh
there, which is
God.
Absurd.
Sean, I'm on your side.
Did anything else interesting happen this week?
Nothing.
Okay.
It's been a very quiet week.
We are going to give you the LGBTQ angles on election results as voters from coast to coast reject Trumpism.
I've been waiting for this, and it happened. Zohan Mamdani's closing weekend of campaigning saw him campaigning in two gay bars, actually more gay bars
yes.
than that. Yeah. We'll show you some of that.
Our home borough of Manhattan elected a gay president.
Of the borough. The legacy of Dick Cheney. You probably have horrible things to say about him, as do I, but I have a couple nice things, too.
Me too.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
never mind. Don't let me stereotype.
Well, hold it. He was a war criminal.
He was.
Come on, you know, but, you know.
He saw the light a little.
The Trump war on trans health care now threatens health care for everybody.
And I can hardly say this story because it is so nonsensical, but the Veterans Administration is making it harder for male veterans to get treated for breast cancer, because men do get breast cancer, linking it to gender extremism.
And another horror, Trump is denying student loan forgiveness to those who work for LGBTQ organizations to work off their debt.
Well, it's another lawyer high employment program because he's going to be sued like crazy for that one. And Trump's new refugee cap shafts LGBTQ refugees from all over the world, unless, I guess, they're Afrikaners from South Africa, white and English speaking.
Right. Billie Eilish donated $11.5 million for the causes Trump is harming, climate justice, food equity, and community support, and challenged the billionaires in the room with her, who were with her, to step up to the plate. We have video.
It was a Wall Street Journal event. Just another point. J.D. Vance wants his Hindu wife to become a Christian.
Well, he wants to be president. He can't have a Hindu wife. The Netherlands is on track to have a new prime minister who is gay and marks a move back to the center in politics there.
And in another stunning development, for the first time, People magazine has named a sexiest man alive who is gay.
And Tommy Dorfman's debut feature, I Wish You All the Best, follows the arduous journey of a non-binary teen in Los Angeles. I'll tell you about it.
So, look, I'm a shy retiring type who just hates to take credit for anything, but I say that with a big grain of salt. But I believe I've sat here for many months saying, the revolution is just waiting patiently to come out and trample this guy.
Trump.
Waiting, and it finally happened.
When you take food stamps away from 42 million people, when you have the money that you could spend, I mean, even with the shutdown.
And you're giving it to Argentina.
Exactly. People become extremely stressed.
Well, it's been building all along. It's been building from the first Trump administration, but it went into high gear this year when he took over again. And from the first day, it's just been people sitting there getting angrier and angrier and angrier and more frustrated. And they finally, in addition to the No Kings March and skirmishes here and there, they finally had a full official way to fight back, and boom, they got him.
We were worried that the Democratic brand gets low ratings, so does the Republican brand. We worried that they wouldn't come to the Democratic Party, but they are voting for the alternative.
Well, and it doesn't have anything to do with the brand, as far as I'm concerned. It was just, here is our way to fight back, and we are going to go out there and do it. And we don't care if they call themselves elephants whatever they are. They could be giraffes. We're voting for them, and we're going to sweep these people away.
And no one fought harder or worked harder than Zoran Mondani, who just got elected mayor of the city of New York.
Woo!
Now, a year ago, I didn't know who he was. He showed up at a trans demonstration that I went to in the cold in February, and he was just there to support, but who's this?
All right, in Union Square, was there, yeah.
Right.
We were there, but we didn't know him.
Right. So you've all seen his speeches and what he's all about. He's an unapologetic socialist. He's certainly an unapologetic Muslim. He even in his speech, he quoted Eugene V. Debs, the socialist candidate for president, three times in the early 20th century.
That's how he started his speech. I thought it was hilarious.
And said, I can see, quoting Debs, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity. And he also
was hilarious.
He also concluded his 2 minutes addressed to Trump with the line, to get any of us, you have to go through all of us. Us is the word with
him. That was not a 2 minute speech. That was
no, the 2 minute section on Trump.
Oh, OK.
Right.
But the thing is, we showed you last week that Mamdani had been campaigning with Cynthia Nixon and Justin Vivian Bond at Meow Mix, or the 30th anniversary of the Meow Mix party at the Parkside Lounge on Houston Street here in New York. And a very enthusiastic crowd, enthusiastic Mamdani, a big party. Everybody was happy. But the news media has not been showing that. They've been showing him in the streets or going to more mainstream events. But he did not. That was not his only LGBTQ event. And on the last weekend of campaigning before this election, he went to a party in Brooklyn called Poppy Juice, which is a big, famous party there. And he here's part of his speech there.
He's so conversant and comfortable with LGBTQ issues. Of course, his roommate in Albany as an assembly member was an out gay state senator. I mean, he's totally comfortable. Doesn't make any difference. Cuomo, Trump. Cuomo kept saying, oh, he's anti-gay because he was from Uganda, and he won't renounce his citizenship from Uganda. Of course, Cuomo wants to move to Florida, which is an anti-gay state.
Bye. Bye, Cuomo.
during his victory speech, he gave a shout out to trans people.
He did.
Got a big roar. And the billionaires threw tens of millions of dollars at him. And
Bloomberg, $5 million on
the last
his own.
Second.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And of course, that's chump change for them. They're just trying to save their low taxes. And they failed again. That money could have fed a lot of people.
Exactly. Instead, it's feeding the political consultants who are working for Cuomo. So there is great joy in Mudville. Mighty Cuomo has struck out.
Right.
And
I've known that kid since he was 19, and he's always been trouble on gay issues.
Vote for Cuomo, not the homo. He created that slogan for his father.
When he was Mario Cuomo's campaign manager, he tried to block the gay literature. He was very late on same-sex marriage. Yes, when it finally came to a head, he got it over the finish line. No credit to the 30-year movement behind it, the grassroots movement.
That he had said no to for decades. And his, quote, concession speech, unquote, was so bitter and nasty and included things like, and we all know that he, Mamdani, or as he calls him, Mondami, is... He's for things he's never going to get done, and this is all just
disgusting.
Nonsense.
Disgusting.
Terrible.
But we had, there was good news here in Manhattan where...
Wait, we had also the picture of Mamdani with some of the DJs
at
the club. Yeah.
So this is, again, the comfort that he has with all kinds of people, really. He has comfort with all people.
And he keeps saying that over and over. I want everybody, except Cuomo. He can go away. But
he said, I never want to say, he says, I wish him well in retirement. I never want to say his name again.
Exactly. But he truly is a happy warrior, as far as we can
see. Exactly, like Al Smith.
And met his wife on a dating app, and then... had several weddings, including one at City Hall that they went home from on the subway. And there are lovely pictures on Instagram of the two of them. Anyway.
But here in Manhattan, Brad Hoyleman, our state senator, we have a picture of him going to the polls with his daughter, was elected the president of the borough of Manhattan. That's a first.
An out gay
And the
president.
DA in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, who is always attacked by the right wing, he skunked the Republican, Maude Marin, who was a Moms for Liberty member, who was an anti-trans activist, and she thought she was going to come in. Because, the right wing is always ragging on Bragg, like, he's letting everybody out, he's no good on crime. He got like 75% of the vote.
Well, he prosecuted Trump. That alone should get him 75% of the vote.
He didn't talk about that too much during the campaign.
He should have.
California, Prop 50 passed overwhelmingly, and it's going to give Democrats a shot at 5 more U.S. House seats.
Yeah.
It counters the Texas, but Republicans are gerrymandering so fast that they're still a little bit up in that process.
Well, I'm glad to hear people starting to say, look, I think the Republicans have just overall overreached and shot themselves in the foot. But in this gerrymandering, they may be diluting their Republican districts by spreading them out to try to get more representatives. With this kind of momentum that we saw yesterday, I don't want to overreach myself, but it is possible that they are reading this wrong and they are going to lose some of those seats to Democrats.
Well, it would be nice to have a House of Representatives that actually meets. Of course, it's been on vacation for months, over a month, and during the shutdown, and it's all about the Epstein files.
Well, I'm glad the Arizona elected representative is suing to get her seat.
I don't think that's going to work. But
why not? She's an elected representative
who's
being denied to her seat.
House rules, they always say the body's
control. Well, we shall see, but it's one way or another, she's got to be seated.
Well, it's true. Adam Clayton Powell was thrown out of Congress once and reinstated by a court. That's true.
Yes, I remember that.
All right. In Pennsylvania, we retained 3 Supreme Court justices, keeping the high court in Democratic hands by a 5-2 margin.
And I got more emails on that this year than anything else. All these scare emails about how we were going to lose those Supreme Court seats. It was going to be the end of civilization.
Won like 60% of the vote on them.
Yeah, well, they did very well. But I was surprised simply because I'd gotten all these scary emails.
Let's go to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Abigail Spanberger beat the anti-LGBTQ lieutenant governor for governor, the first woman governor in Virginia history. That in the lieutenant governor's race, the gay Republican John Reed lost to Hashmi Ghazala, who's the first Muslim woman elected statewide in the country.
But the homicidal attorney general candidate won.
Jay Jones. Now, poor Jay Jones. He texted to somebody something awful. If I had two bullets, I wouldn't use them on Xi or Putin. I'd give them both to the Republican head of the House or something.
Whatever.
Which is, you know, a horrible thing to say. But everybody goes, the Republicans all go, he said he wanted to kill. He didn't say it. People say stupid things on text. Don't do it, basically.
We all speak in hyperbole.
Right.
Or I do. But the point is, people wanted him to drop out of the race. I thought for a while he would, but he stuck.
There was no way to substitute anybody.
He
won!
He won.
Oh, it would have been bad to have
Well, look what the Republicans have forgiven Trump in all his horrible statements for years.
I could shoot people on Fifth Avenue and I'd get elected.
And he is always threatening Democrats and calling them terrible
names. The Gulf of Mexico. And in New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill beat the anti-gay, very butch, Jack Chitarelli, who really was awful and totally MAGA.
Well, but he ran some interesting ads against her, so there was some concern. But she's out there now post-election saying, see, I knew I had it all along and you guys didn't believe me.
And then in Jersey City, the former New Jersey out gay governor, Jim McGreevy, is going to be in a runoff with a guy named James Solomon for being the mayor of that town. And in Nassau County, the anti-LGBTQ bigot, Bruce Blakeman, who's the county executive, prevailed for reelection. But in Georgia, the Democrats prevailed in two statewide races versus Republican incumbents on the Public Service Commission. No, they're statewide races, and the Democrats won against incumbent Republicans. And that's encouraging for John Ossoff.
Also encouraging, in Downington, Pennsylvania, the voters elected a trans woman, Erica Dusso, a Democrat, as mayor of Downington. First, they said, first trans mayor elected in Pennsylvania. Yeah, well, probably, yes. But my favorite political story comes from Kentucky, which I thought I would reveal to you for the first time, but Whoopi Goldberg beat me to the punch earlier today. It was in the City and State newsletter yesterday. The Secretary of State of Kentucky had to put out a tweet saying that he'd been getting a lot of complaints from voters the polls were not open in Kentucky. And he had to inform people they're not open because we have no election in Kentucky. And no, you cannot vote for mayor of New York or governor of Virginia in Kentucky.
People are so crazy.
Well, I thought it was a great example of the enthusiasm that has been unleashed across the country because people, you know, of course they're idiotic not to understand that, but it's a manifestation of how hungry people are to go out and vote.
The turnout in New York was incredible. I mean, it was a contested race, and here's the thing. When you give people something to vote for and not just against, they will come out. And people were just terribly enthusiastic about Zorin.
Well, I would say it's ratcheted up by several degrees by what we're going through now and how absolutely disgustingly horrible, which we will get to in a minute, the Trump administration has been.
We want somebody who is going to fight for us.
Well, we want a return to something resembling normalcy where the parties negotiate with each other and not just shut the door and try to come up with reasonable solutions to issues like you know, opening the government.
All right. Look at your phone. Did Nancy Pelosi say she's not running again? No, we're not doing that story.
Not yet.
All right. So
there are rumors that she's going to retire. We'll see.
Although I have to say, she gave an interview this week, and when pressed by the CNN interviewer who asked, she said, hold it, I want to give the quote.
Yeah, do.
Trump's just a vile creature, the worst thing on the face of the earth. So then the interviewer goes, you really think he's the worst thing on earth? And she said, I do. I really do.
I would agree with her.
Then there's Dick Cheney, who we always hated.
I mean, he is murdering people in the Gulf of Mexico and the Pacific randomly.
Yes, and that's not being stopped.
No. Dick Cheney?
Well, look, I mean, in terms of his life record, I mean, he's the instigator of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's a war criminal for that. I mean, he was the architect of that as the vice president under George W. Bush. But he also guided Bush into $2 trillion in tax cuts for the rich.
Yes, but here's the turnaround. You see him there with his wife, Lynn, then him, then Mary, then Liz. So when Mary came out as a lesbian and Liz was not happy about it, Dick was completely supportive from the first day from her announcement and never backed down, never equivocated, always talked about how he loved her and supported her and did that enough, I think, to bring Liz along eventually. And then when Liz put up her whole fight against Trump, he was totally supportive of her.
And when he was running for vice president, one of the debates with whoever his opponent was, I forget, but he said he was asked about same-sex marriage, and he said, what's his famous quote, you know, equality is for equality for everyone or something along those lines. You know, it's like, That was his attitude. It wasn't like full-throated support, but
Well, it was full-throated support. It just wasn't as explicit as we might have liked it at that moment, but it went on to be completely explicit. And, at some point we have to appreciate people for things like
and
that.
And then he did endorse Kamala Harris for president.
He did.
In 2024.
Voted for her.
I spoke to him. I ran into him at a Republican convention that we were covering. I don't think I have film on this. And I just said, oh, it's Dick Cheney. He was like, had been Secretary of Defense. He was in the House from Wyoming. I said, you know, what about gay rights? I mean, I didn't know about the daughter. And he said, well, that's something we should be able to talk about. Why don't we, I don't think he wasn't saying any support, but he wasn't Stephen Miller. He didn't froth at the mouth like that congressman you tried to talk to.
Dick Armey.
And Pete Williams was Cheney's press secretary, an out gay guy at the Defense Department. And when Michelangelo Signorelli reported on Pete Williams being gay in 1991, Cheney stood by him at a time when gays were banned from the military, even though it was a civilian job.
Right. So we still do not appreciate his warmongering and the wars he provoked conducted, but we appreciate the humanity of all of this.
All right, Halloween is over, but the devil never sleeps. So that the night before the SNAP benefits expired for 42 million people, Trump had his Gatsby party at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, it's so grotesque.
It is, and so overt, and that's one of the reasons I think. See, that's what I mean by the Republicans overplaying their hand. They could have done this so much differently. They could have, for the last year, done almost everything they've done, but in a different tone and in a different way that made people understand their point of view. And they just said, the hell with that, and just threw it all at us so viciously. Whether it's Russell Vought or Stephen Miller, the anger they showed and the cruelty, they did not have to be so cruel about any of this, but that's what they chose, and that's why it's getting thrown back at them.
And the 60 Minutes interview that he did was just, I mean, there were like 21 documented lies in these things. And of course, CBS, now under the direction of the right-wing Barry Weiss, didn't allow for corrections of any of them on the air.
Yeah, they told Norah O'Donnell to cool it and not challenge Trump during the interview.
Yeah.
Which is really
bad. It was just lie after lie after lie. I mean, you should just put up on the screen, this is not true. This figure is wrong.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. Right. And Rob Shooter's column today says Barry Weiss has become such a monster in such a short period of time that she has security escorting her through the building. It started with just two security people. Now it's 10. 10 security people escorting Barry Weiss.
You can't even get in the restroom when she's around.
Oh, my God.
And apparently, even though the interview was not that hard on him, Trump is raging, saying he felt betrayed because he thought, I own CBS now. He wants a coronation.
Yes.
Where they're just going to say, look at all the wonderful things that you're doing. You're stopping all these wars. You're doing it.
The mistake the South Koreans made was when they gave him the crown, it was under glass. If they just put it on his head, he'd have been a lot happier.
Okay. Chuck Schumer suggested he's
going to... Do we have to still talk about him?
Well, just that he says, I think we'll file a complaint against 60 Minutes for the way they edited the film, since Trump got $16 million from CBS when he didn't like the way they interviewed the Harris interview.
I don't understand what they would sue for.
All right. I'm reading in terms of the shutdown that a handful of Democrats are going to supply 8 votes for a new short-time continuing resolution.
Is that the one that's supposed to go for a year?
In exchange for a promised vote on the ACA tax credits.
See, a viewer wrote me a very nice note saying, fill me in on the details of this. I've sort of lost the thread. And I said, look, the Democrats are not willing to believe these empty promises anymore. The Republicans say they're going to allow for a vote or have discussions, or Trump says we'll bring them to the White House or whatever. It's all lies. And the minute they hand over these votes... to open up on the basis of this clean continuing resolution, it's going to be Lucy with the football. It's going to be yanked away from
them. So have the vote on the ACA credits first.
Yes, but that's what the Republicans will not allow. Because they're not honest about it.
So Trump is having, we know he's having a war on trans people, but it's on health care in general. Access to gender-affirming care for transgender youth will be dramatically restricted under these new proposals from HHS, which prohibit reimbursement to any program that treats them. And that means hospitals have to give up entirely on treating transgender
youth.
Or
their Medicaid and Medicare funding will disappear.
And they will cave.
Right. And meanwhile, the Veterans Administration... says that men in the military, veterans in particular, cannot get coverage for breast cancer, ignoring the fact that men do get breast cancer, because
only the woke believe that.
Because it's not a reproductive issue with men, and the way breast cancer treatment is covered for female military people is because it is put in a category of being a reproductive issue because it interferes with breastfeeding. Now, to have to twist yourself into knots to cover women in the first place and then use that to exclude men is, I could call it nonsensical, but it's insane. And at the same time, they're claiming that to ask for coverage for men with breast cancer is some kind of gender ideology.
Yeah. They're obsessed. By the way, Trans Awareness Week is 11/13 through 19, and the Trans Day of Remembrance is 11/20. Now, you Google these things. There will be events in your area
Yes.
that you can participate in.
And just to further travel along the cabinet table of the Trump administration, the Department of Defense has something to say about trans troops. There's a legal fight going on. The Trump administration said nobody who's trans can serve in the military. And there are trans people who are suing to stay in the military. And that's gone back and forth in various courts. It's still under consideration. But the Defense Department now says that trans troops who want to keep serving must appear before a board that is evaluating them in the clothing appropriate to their birth sex.
We have a picture of Logan Ireland, a master sergeant in the Air Force with 15 years of service, who said he's been a man for most of his adult life and for almost 13 years of military service. They want him to put on a dress.
Well, it made me wonder.
Does he have to shave, too?
What is female attire in the military? Don't they get to wear pants? Can't these, I'm not suggesting anybody cave to this, but.
Going back to healthcare for a second.
It's just a humiliation and cruelty maneuver by the Defense Department.
That's who runs it.
Yeah.
Trump is helping a right-wing racist cartoonist, Scott Adams, who does the Dilbert cartoon. He's a bit of a right-winger. So while he lets insurance expire for millions of people, he's calling the insurance company for Scott Adams, Kaiser Permanente, to get him this treatment for cancer that he has. And Kaiser Permanente is saying, you know, we're treating him like everybody else. We're not, you know, we're not denying him anything special. He's on track for certain things. But if you're a right winger, Trump will go to bat for you.
The Department of Justice wants the medical records of all trans kids who are being treated in hospitals or wherever. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and 14 state attorneys general are filing suit to prevent that, because why would you hand over your kids' medical records to Pam Bondi and Donald Trump?
And as Shapiro says, you know, to turn over these things would erode the trust between doctors and patients and undermine state efforts to use their regulatory authority to protect that trust.
Well, this kind of treatment is not illegal. It's not illegal.
Right.
So why should they have access to these records? And they're lying about it and saying it's about genital mutilation. It is not.
Well, it reminds me, I have the story down the line here, but my alma mater, UVA, struck a deal with the Trump administration to agree to all their anti-woke stuff. But when it came to trans, they said, that's being settled in the courts. So if they go the other way, we will. But right now, we're going to protect trans people.
Yeah, you were a little more hopeful about UVA a couple of weeks ago.
No, not particularly.
Well, you said they were not caving.
They hadn't, and they did.
Okay, that's all.
Oh, they say they didn't, and people say, oh, they're protecting professional integrity.
And just in the cruelty thing, a court ordered Trump to give food stamps to people who deserve them. He says, fine, I'll give them half.
Trump's education department, they released a new rule to deny student loan forgiveness to people who work for LGBTQ organizations. It's the public service loan forgiveness program that many people use, but the administration wants to cut them off.
Hold it.
Here's the quote from them. The public service loan forgiveness program was meant to support Americans who dedicate their careers to public service, not to subsidize organizations that violate the law, whether by harboring illegal immigrants or performing prohibited medical procedures that attempt to transition children away from their biological sex.
There are no words.
Right.
I'm just sorry that the Blue Jays lost the World Series.
Me too. I fell asleep.
No, I watched it all. But it would have been nice for Canada to be able to say they beat the United States. And Trump would have had something to say about that. But yes. I think they scored a moral victory because they were expected to lose in four games.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They were big, huge underdogs. And so the fact that they took it to really the last out of the last
I was awake game. For the 18-inning earlier game because I'm having trouble sleeping. I've got a whole thing going on my neck. But so I saw that.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The whole thing was pretty amazing. It really was a great World Series.
Well, the Dodgers won that one, too, I think. Yes, they did.
Yes.
All right.
But then they lost the next two.
Yeah.
Because they were old and tired.
Okay. Now, there's this immigration refugee cap that the Trump administration is is pushing, and it's going to limit refugees to 7,500 people. It used to be 120,000.
Well, there are 120,000 in line who've been approved, who are waiting to come in. But Trump is only going to let in 7,500.
And they have to be white and English-speaking.
It's all the Afrikaners from South Africa.
It's
who are so abused by having a black majority government there.
It is insane.
The whole world is upside down in their vocabulary.
They love white people.
Again, cruel.
Okay.
So J.D. Vance is getting in trouble because he's being cruel to his wife now, along with everybody else.
They are. That's when they got married. They weren't particularly religious, but they did a sort of semi-Christian, semi-Hindu ceremony. Then he becomes a Catholic.
Yes.
So,
in fact, he's upset now that the administration is criticizing the Pope.
All right.
It's freaked him out.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, he used to be anti-Pope.
No.
But the
Well, he killed one of them, but now he's...
But the problem is, he is learning that on the far right, they don't like him having a Hindu wife.
Right.
So he just says she's not a Christian and has no plans to convert, but like many people in interfaith marriages or in any interfaith relationship, I hope she may one day see things the way I do. He said, criticize.
Because I'm the man.
Says,
I'm in charge.
You criticize me for trying to turn my wife into a Christian? You are, that reeks, and he spelled it wrong, of anti-Christian bigotry.
They are geniuses at manipulating.
How does she put up with it?
Well, she's the servant. He is the master.
That's what it looks like. A little bit further on Leah Smith at Middlebury, who took her own life, a trans student, like hundreds of other trans athletes, she was hounded on social media for competing in women's sports. There's a whole website dedicated to this called He Cheated. And they go after these people and dead name them. And, you know, it's just outrageous. And she, you know, I don't know if that's the whole reason, but she did take her own life.
Don't these people have anything better to do with their time? In Maine, Maine Family Planning has had to cut their primary care services in the state because they have lost Medicaid funding that you supposedly lose if you provide abortion services. And they should not be losing this funding, but that is going to affect everyone who is a client of Maine Family Planning.
Did we talk about your piece in LGBTQ Community News?
Not lately.
Okay. Anne wrote a piece called Breast Cancer? Me? And we're going to link to
True.
It in our email, but it was an educational piece.
Yes, and I've started a new drug which you may see advertised on TV called Kisqali, and the ads are really scary. It's made me a little concerned about the side effects, but I've been taking it this week, and so far so good. I am seeing a cardiologist Thursday. That's tomorrow.
I'm seeing a spinal surgeon tomorrow.
Well,
I'm here doing the show. I can't sleep, but I can sit up and talk.
Well, here's the thing. I had an appointment with this cardiologist for a month from now, but I said, yes, put me on the waiting list for an earlier appointment. And they called me today and said, we can see you tomorrow. And I said, Friday, sorry. I love this system where they actually pay attention and follow through. And
my doctors have been good about getting me appointments as well, I must say.
Yeah, so we will report our results.
All right. Now, Billie Eilish, she took on Zuckerberg and other billionaires over their lack of charity when she was at, what was the event?
It was an Innovator Awards event put on by the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, with Bezos and all these billionaires there. So here's what she had to say to them.
And help more than kind of ever. Where the world is, we're in a time right now where the world is really, really bad and really dark, and people need empathy and help more than kind of ever, especially in our country. And I'd say if you have money, it would be great to use it for good things and maybe give it to some people that need it. And love you all, but there's a few people in here that have a lot more money than me. And if you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? No hate, but yeah, give your money away, shorties. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
And she's donating $11.5 million from her tour to climate justice, food equity, and community support. Zuckerberg just sat there stone face. But, you know, what is his name, Mark Zuckerberg?
Yes.
I said, Mark, what profit a man inherit the whole world and loses a mortal soul?
Atheist.
Oh, well. And then Chapel Roan, right?
Yeah, we talked about her last week.
About how she's funding this thing?
Yeah.
Well, she's doing it, too.
Right. Yeah, $11.5 million from Billie Eilish. That is a significant commitment to doing good in the world. And, yeah, what are the Zuckerbergs doing?
Nothing.
Well, I don't know that they're doing nothing, but I think they drew back from some of what they were doing for fear of offending
Well,
Trump.
A lot of that is happening from the corporations, the withdrawing from all the good causes that we support.
Yep.
Yeah. And their people are withdrawing from the Kennedy Center. We keep tracking this.
Love it.
Here it is. A massive dip in 2023. The average show is selling just over half of its tickets now, and most of those are being comped for various reasons. It's out of control, and, that's what Trump said, you know, with DEI and everything. Well, now just nobody goes. He was gonna make the Kennedy Center hot again.
Well, this is the thing. They overreach. They do these things they don't have to do.
They want to watch him dance?
Oh, God, I hope not. But, and I'll resist saying how someone John Oliver, defines that dancing. It's a little
vulgar?
Obscene, yes.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Bill Maher. But
I don't watch Bill Maher.
No, I gave him up. But one of them had a good
description. All right. Okay. At HHS, the anti-LGBT, they're very anti-LGBTQ. Alex Adams, who directs the Administration for Children and Families, has ordered California and other states to review where necessary and amend policies that are designed to ensure LGBTQ foster youth are placed in affirming homes. They want to end those policies. States say you shouldn't be taking in kids if you can't affirm their identities, and they don't want that.
Good news from Oklahoma, where LGBTQ youth, who turn out to be quite bright, are feeling relieved after Ryan Walters stepped away from his job as the state school superintendent.
There is that putz. He's now taken a job to attack unions. I'm surprised he wasn't made Secretary of Education.
Well, they don't give up on it yet. But hotline calls in Oklahoma by those youth to, help.
Stress.
Yeah, hotlines have fallen 36% just in the last month since Walters quit.
And nearly two-thirds of the callers, 64%, identified Walters as the source of their distress, according to the Rainbow Youth Project.
Wow.
You have this maniac out there attacking gay people constantly.
Again, totally unnecessary. Also, there's quite a debate going on in Maine about Graham Plattner, the candidate for Senate against Susan Collins, who looked like a great hope, down-to-earth oyster farmer or whatever vet who was going to go against her. And then it turned out he had a Nazi symbol tattoo and had said some pretty horrible things over the years, particularly homophobic things. But then he apologized for all of that and covered up the tattoo. So some people love him, some people don't. Janet Mills has gotten into the race, the governor.
And there's a gay candidate, too.
Well, don't hold your breath for him. But Graham Plattner and Mamdani have the same campaign advisor.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah.
This kid, he's 26. I really hated, though, Cuomo calling Mamdani a kid all the time. But
he's just pulling out the ammunition.
Do we think Kash Patel did something good in Michigan? The FBI foiled a plot against LGBTQ bars in the Metro Detroit area, the Joint Terrorism Fast.
Even a stop clock is right twice a day.
Okay.
In St. Louis, update on the cop car that rammed into the gay bar. They finally dropped the criminal charges against the gay bar owner.
Yeah.
Because the prosecutors refused to hand over any discovery, mostly because there wasn't any. And the civil case against the cops is continuing. The city threatened to close the bar because they had not adequately repaired the damage. The bar had not...
That the police did.
The police had caused by ramming into it. Oh, my God. But the publicity about that made the city back off from closing the bar.
We had the marathon race in New York this past weekend. And in the non-binary marathon division, Daniel Matta was the winner from Jersey City, one of 143 participants.
In a race of 55,000. But well, it turns out this is marathons across the country are adopting these non-binary categories for racers who want to race that way.
I got a correction. We talked about that church in Dallas that
painted the rainbow steps.
Where, there it is. It's so gorgeous. And the correct name is the Oak Lawn Church in Dallas that went rainbow. Not the Oakland Park Methodist Church. And we thank our viewer, Charles, for the correction and for the kind words.
All right. And international news?
Well, the big news is that the Dutch centrist party leader, Rob Jetten, who's openly gay, looks like he's going to be the next prime minister of the Netherlands. He'll be the youngest, the first openly gay. There have been other openly gay prime ministers elsewhere.
Well, the good thing is that he's getting rid of the right-wing Geert Wilders.
Wilders.
Who has been in charge, and he's overcoming him. His partner, Rob's partner, is a pro field hockey player.
From Argentina.
They did a cute little video.
That's the
hockey player.
That's what they did on Election Day.
Yeah.
They kissed. They went around it and let it go.
Cute.
Whatever.
Whatever.
It was sweet. I mean, it's so just natural, open, affirming.
Yeah.
There's the whole video. We'll show it.
There it goes.
This is them getting dressed for election night. And they're always posting lovey-dovey pictures of themselves. And he's going to be the prime minister. In Botswana, they had the first Palapye Pride there, in which is the Williamsburg of Africa, apparently. And any time they do a Pride event in Africa, it's a story.
A triumph. In the UK, the Labour Party has a new deputy director, Lucy Powell, who is very supportive of trans people and opposes an anti-trans bill that has been proposed. And that sort of goes against the party.
Labor Party's been going in the other direction. We don't want to talk about this anymore. Men are men, women are women, she's standing up to that. And she's now the deputy prime minister. And Glamour magazine in the UK, their Women of the Year cover featured 9 trans women. They're sporting U.S. designer Connor Ives,
Protect the Dolls
T-shirts.
And that sent J.K. Rowling into a complete tizzy.
Let her roar!
And Virginia Giuffre's posthumous book has brought down Prince Andrew.
Yes. Finally.
Yeah.
But then King Charles tries to do a walk around and people scream at him, get Andrew out of the house. He's a pedo.
Once again, it is the people who have the power.
Yes.
And that's what happened. That's the whole story here of the elections this week. And the people have just taken that power into their hands when given the chance and have gotten rid of a lot of the cruelty. And they're going to continue to because Trump is not going to back down from the cruelty, much as he should.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that emerged right during the week that, you know, Andrew got canned was a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, and Harvey Weinstein. Yes, at a costume party for Andrew's 18-year-old daughter in 2005. They're all invited to his house, you know, for a costume party. He was totally tight with these people.
Of course. Oh, but the big thing was, again, from Rob Shooter, that there were sex workers going in and out of the current house of Andrew.
That's true.
Current house. So now they're putting him in the forest somewhere, and I think literally in Forest House, and forbidding any kind of visitors like that in the house. Charles just had enough.
Andrew, you're just going to have to take care of yourself.
Evidently, he's compulsive.
And I want to point out that the horrible Jamaica hurricane, there is a Melissa Relief Fund launched for the LGBTQ community.
I would hope for everybody. But
Trump, by the way, feels very bad for Andrew and is angry at the king for drawing more attention to Epstein. I thought you were my friend.
Donald, sooner or later, your misdeeds with Jeffrey Epstein are going to be published.
All right. AIDS and health news. I want to point out, you know, I'm on the board of the
New Alternatives
for Homeless LGBTQ Youth. And Kate Barnhart, who I've known since she was 15, is turning 50. She's been an activist that long.
Well, she was in ACT UP with us as a teenager.
And so on November 11th in Hell's Kitchen, we're going to have a party for her, and you're all invited. The details will be in our email.
And whether you can come or not, you can support New Alternatives with a donation.
We're a scrappy organization helping these homeless.
Doing very grassroots work for actual
youth.
People.
Right. Anne has been very supportive as well.
Yes, and I've kicked in a contribution whether I will make it to the party since I'm very anti-party. It's always a question.
But it's for Kate.
Yes, absolutely.
Could be fun.
Yeah. Entertainment news.
Is the sexiest man alive? Well, this year it's Jonathan Bailey. You know him from Fellow Travelers, from Wicked, from
Bridgerton.
All those kinds of things. And so here's a sexy pic of Jonathan. I wanted to show that to emphasize the sex thing. And, of course, the scene from Fellow Travelers with Matt Bomer, those were very pretty explicit love scenes between men, which we haven't seen. We don't see too much. So congratulations to Jonathan, who was kind of gobsmacked that they picked him.
A number of people were, but he is the first gay man picked for this great honor. But he has a very cute dog who you will also see in the pictures if you look a little online.
Well, it's progress.
Yeah.
All right. You want to tell us about this Iago Sin City Classic?
Yes. I was involved with the Gay Games in New York 30 years ago. Great. Organization, great event, tens of thousands of participants, because unlike the Olympics, which are very exclusive, only the top athletes, these events are always open to all. And so this is a tournament in Las Vegas, the Sin City Classic, an annual event over Martin Luther King weekend next year, January 15th through 19th. And registration has just opened for that. So if you go online and look for the Sin City Classic, you will be able to find that. 24 different sports, 10,000 athletes expected. It should be a fantastic event in Las Vegas next January. And there's golf in it. And lots of other things.
So the non-binary actor we know, Tommy Dorfman, who has directed their first feature film. It's just come out. I Wish You All the Best. And it follows the arduous journey of a non-binary teen in Los Angeles, played by former Disney star Corey Fogelmanis, thrown out by his fundamentalist parents, taken in by his sister, embraced at a liberal school.
Their sister, their non-binary, use they, them pronouns, maybe?
Comes to use the term they in the film.
That's
part of the story.
Got it.
All right. And embraced at a liberal school and even finds love, but not, of course, without a lot of conflict and stress and depression and rejection. Lena Dunham pops up as a quirky art teacher and mentor, and it's the debut feature for Dorfman.
Okay.
I recommend it.
And this is going to be in theaters or online?
Theaters.
Okay. All right. So here it is, election week, and we've come to the end of our list of stories with 3 minutes left.
Well, we skip over a lot of details so we can get everything in. I have to say, both of us are, in terrible shape these days, but our spirits have been lifted so much by seeing the victories around the country, and especially the election of Zoran Mamdani, which is just amazing.
Well, I one of the reasons for me to do this show is that it does energize me on a weekly basis, and that's been true all along for the almost 30 years I've been doing this with you. Yes, almost 30 years, and Andy, an extra 10 years. So, yes, this good news is very energizing, but just the ability to sit here and talk about the news and bring people information is inspiring and energizing.
It gives us a sense of agency.
It makes me feel like I'm in the mix. Right. One thing I liked about being a member of ACT UP for all those years was that I felt I was on the front lines of what was happening, that I was where the action was. And
I miss the movement groups when we all used to get together all the time. And
yeah.
Of course, ACT UP did that, Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights. We did that. That was my social life also. There's less of that, of in-person meetings going on.
I have for years begged people to have in-person meetings when they want to do it online or by social media or whatever. And, I guess it mostly started with COVID and everybody retreating to their own bedrooms, but I think there's no substitute for meeting
face to face. Gloria Steinem always said that.
Yeah.
You really have to meet people face to face to understand them.
And it doesn't matter whether it's three of you or 300 of you. It's just the act of getting together and being able to hash stuff out in person, rather than it's much harder to do on a Zoom meeting, to have a real conversation. And so if any of you are involved in any kind of activity, meeting in person is a much better way to do it.
There is no salvation outside the church. That's an old expression. No, but what it means is you need community to do things. I'm not for church. I'm an atheist. But that's the deal.
Yeah, even the Kentucky voters wanted to be involved. I'll never get over that. I think that's hilarious.
Oh, the fact that they wanted to vote in other elections. Yes. It's on the news. Can I vote?
Yeah, and not analyzing who they were going to vote for. You'd like to think they were energized by Mamdani and Spanberger.
Or stopping them.
Well, that's my point. You don't know. But the fact that they wanted to be in on the action, in on the front lines, is what's so inspiring. So, yes, when Mamdani came along, we didn't know him, but then we did. And now he's going to be the mayor of New York City. Bye.